The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 538. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, this weekend, we are going to be treated to some great wrestling action from the WWE as they present their annual event, SummerSlam. It emanates from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it's got a lot of buzz surrounding the fact that there's several very unique matchups, and helping me to talk about those matchups is going to be one half of the Pro Wrestling Pundits. That's right, Ringside Rand joins me once again to talk all about the SummerSlam, from what matches we're looking forward to the build, to who might be the victor in these matchups. So we got you covered with all the news going into SummerSlam weekend. But before we get to our conversation, I need to thank a quick sponsor. Look, let's talk about deals, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone loves getting a good deal, and you could do that through the newest sponsor of the PVD Cast, Courtney 614 Deals. Courtney has deals of all types of items, whether you're talking health and beauty, clothing, home decor, and much, much more. Courtney can be found on all those reselling sites like eBay, Whatnot, Poshmark, and others. Simply go to her IG and find out about all the deals she has going on. She'll tell you about them and where you can find them on the various different reselling sites. Just go to Courtney, that's C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614 Deals. And if you make any purchases from Courtney, please let her know that you heard about her endeavors right here on the PVD Cast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear myself and Ringside Rand analyze SummerSlam. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the year where we are getting primed and ready to go for the biggest event of the summer. Of course, WWE SummerSlam. Joining me to give a preview of the event, of course, is one half of the Pro Wrestling Pundits, Ringside Rand. Rand, how you doing?
I'm one half, but this is a two-day show, so this is going to be a lot of work.
Yep, you're not a kidding on that.
I'm going to need a wheelbarrow.
A wheelbarrow?
Wheelbarrow. I'm going to need something to carry.
Carry all your opinions and insights.
Oh, I got opinions.
Okay, well.
That's why we're here.
That's right. So what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break down each of the matches and talk a little bit about them and see which ones we think might be really, really good. Maybe some that are not so good. We'll talk about predictions for whom we think are going to go over and why. You know, let's get into it because we got 12 matches to discuss, Rand. So let's start with night number one, which is Saturday night. I guess these are in the order that they are going to be on the show, maybe. I'm not sure because I think that Punk and Rhodes should be closing the show. So thanks to Wikipedia, I may have that incorrectly documented. So let's start with Liv Morgan, the champion, the women's champion, taking on Io Sky.
I'm not sure what to make of the Judgment Day at this point.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of all over the place. They got too many different storylines that they're doing.
Finn's gone.
Right.
Dominic doesn't do much with him because he's horsing around with Danhausen.
Correct, yes.
It seems like it's Liv and her backing group.
Yeah, because JD McDonagh hasn't done much except for a little bit with Dominic and Danhausen, but he hasn't done too much. Yeah, the Judgment Day is certainly not quite the faction that they once were.
But then again, neither is the Vision. But the Vision is primarily because of injuries.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a reason why the Vision's in that situation. Now, look, let's talk about Io Sky. I think right now she has got the most momentum for any of the ladies in that division. I think that she has got the fans behind her. She's having pretty good matches. I think that right now she's riding high right now.
And part of it is because her friend left.
Yeah.
She's filling the void really well.
Yes, absolutely well.
It's amazing how over she is with that finger pointing back and forth on her head.
Yeah, that's the weirdest little...
quirk, mannerism.
Mannerism, that's a good way to think about it, yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't scare the opponent. It's just basically saying, I'm kind of nuts.
Yeah.
I think she's probably the best aerial female wrestler there is right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, because of that, I think she's going to be the one to get the victory.
I think Liv does it, but there's still a lot of tension between her and Raquel, who, by the way, last night won the women's IC title.
Yes, defeating Sol Rocca. That surprised me, to be honest with you, because I just didn't think that they're really high on Sol Rocca and not so high on Raquel, but they pulled the trigger.
So where do we see Sol Rocca going next?
Well, that's a great question. I think that she's going to end up in a feud with Liv Morgan. Now, whether Liv has the title or not is the only wrinkle to that prediction of mine. I know Joey's not here to defend her honor or to battle me on this. I'm not a big fan of Sol Rocca.
I think she injured Raquel last night.
With the busted nose.
Yeah.
There's just, I don't understand the gimmick. I get it. She's a surfer girl, but like looks like Timu Lita, you know, with the weird pants and the tennis shoes, and all of her moves seem like they take forever to set up.
I can see that.
So I'm not really sold on her.
She's attractive, very agile, gymnastic related.
Yep.
I think she has some mistakes in her regular matches, though. I think we saw a busted nose last night. I think there are other times we've seen botches.
Yeah.
So maybe she's just going for, I don't see a natural tag team partner for her.
No, not after, of course, getting the call up from NXT. They didn't call up somebody else that could work with her or be her partner. I don't know. I feel like Liv and Sol Rocca are going to be the next avenue. But I think, personally, I think it's without the title. I think Io Sky gets the victory and is going to be your new women's champ.
Well, I see Liv and Sol Rocca working together series. So I got Liv winning the title.
Okay.
Do you think it's too early for Sol Rocca to go after the title?
I think so, yes. I do. I think it's too much right now. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with the ladies there in that matchup. But let's move on to another match that is probably going to be later on in the show. It is Oba Femi versus Brock Lesnar in Hell in a Cell.
As much as I'd like to see Brock win, I'm afraid it's his hometown, his last match, and nobody wins their last match.
Especially when it's in your hometown, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate. And I kind of thought this was going to be on the pregame show.
Really?
Didn't they have another match on a pre-show?
I don't know.
The Italy clash on the pre-show?
They may have. I'd have to go back and look, to be honest with you.
That was a mess. This booking's been a mess.
Yeah, well, this storyline in particular has been a mess because we retire, we don't retire, we come back, we have another match, we retire, we're not really retiring. Brock, just figure it out, man. Either you're going to call it quits and go off and, you know, hang out with your family or not, but...
I got a feeling there were lawyers and money involved.
I think so, too. I think very much so.
I think the plan was for him to lose in his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like it, so he walked away in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
The suits decided to say, hey, we've got contracts, we got money payments and so forth. We need more from you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That's why this is thrown back together.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least, Rand. You said Oba Femi you think's winning. I'm going with that as well, because I think, speaking of momentum, I think Oba Femi is really got momentum behind him, and the fans are behind him, and he is just, he's such a character. He's such an
unique character.
Unique character, yeah, absolutely. And I just saw a thing online a little bit earlier today. He's dropped some weight. He's down to like 307 now, and he was like 330.
Regular working schedule.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you got to maintain it when you're on the major show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't be looking sloppy. You got to keep yourself in the gym and whatnot.
You're going to get pushed. These are two former King of the Ring winners.
Yeah.
Rock won King of the Ring here.
Yeah.
Right here in Columbus, Ohio. To steal the words from Mick Foley.
And then Oba Femi just
a couple months ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I forgot about that. All right, let's move on to what's probably going to be the main event, even though I have it on my lineup as number three. But let's talk about it. CM Punk, our world champion, undisputed champion, whatever you want to call it, is going to take on Cody Rhodes. This has been a very oddly booked storyline because of the way in which Punk won the title.
Beating. I kind of think Seth's injury made this awkward, that Seth was going to be more involved with the build-up to WrestleMania. They took it off and put it on CM Punk.
Well, yeah, look, I personally feel like your opportunity to put the world title on Sami Zayn is come and gone. That should have happened a couple of years ago when he was red hot, when he was so hot, and he was getting so much of a pop and so much support from the fans, and they didn't do anything with that in Montreal. So I think when they put the title on Sami Zayn, immediately I was like, well, that's just to make up for what happened. And then they take it right off of him with Punk.
How long did he have the title?
Oh, what, a couple of weeks, maybe? A week or so?
So it was longer than Kane, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was. It was.
So he's still kind of a transition champ.
Yeah.
And you think he deserves more?
No, at this point, no. I'm sorry. I'm done with Sami Zayn. He's just boring. He doesn't do anything for me anymore. Maybe if he had gotten a title run a couple of years ago, maybe I might have said, okay. But yeah, I just feel like Sami Zayn putting the belt on him, mistake.
I can see that. Did he win it in Saudi Arabia?
Yes, he did.
And he is of what religion?
I don't know. I know he's Syrian, but I don't know. Is he Islamic?
I thought he was Muslim.
That I don't know. I got to be honest, 100%.
Hey, research department, put down that donut.
Look up some stuff. Well, anyways, going back to the match itself, I have this sneaky suspicion that we're going to see Cody Rhodes pick up the victory again.
I'm still amazed that Cody leaves the company as a mid-carder, comes back and is suddenly elevated to main event. I realize he does a lot of the promotions, the commercials. In a lot of ways, he's the flag bearer.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I just don't see him in the ring as being that great.
You know, first of all, one thing I would like to just state, he did go out and about and learn his craft in other different places.
Oh, yeah.
So when he came back, he wasn't just, you know, he had come back as a main eventer. I don't know. I just feel like CM Punk's had a nice little run. These two, I think, are going to have a hell of a match. I think this is going to be a great match on night one. But I just don't see Punk holding on to the title. I just don't see it. I think they have plans for Cody with the title. And I think CM Punk's going to go back down to the top of the mid card.
Who do you think would be a run-in or distraction on this match? Because neither one really have partners or... this isn't AEW where everybody's got five friends that hang out with them.
But ironically, in some instances, none of those friends ever come and help the person when they're getting beat up. But I digress.
And by the way, these are two people who were in
I know.
AEW not that long ago.
No. That's a great question. Who might be a possible spoiler to this? I don't see
anybody clearly.
I don't either. So, Rand, what's your prediction?
I'm going with Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
I think that Punk was put in to fill for the injured. See what I did there? Phil in?
Yeah.
His name is Phil.
His name is Phil.
I think he was brought in to fill the void of Seth Rollins.
Okay. Until Seth could return.
Yeah.
Well, this next match, I have no idea just what they're doing. It's the six-man tag team match with the Bloodline. Jacob Fatu, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso taking on LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, and Royce Keyes.
I'm sorry, I'm yawning over here.
No, that's fine, because I don't understand. Like, I don't get the Bloodline storyline right now. Like, I personally feel like it's gone as far as it can go. Like, I just don't understand what they're trying to do with Solo Sikoa tagging with those other two. Like, it just doesn't... LA Knight should be, as we've talked about many, many times before, should be given a world title run. Much like Sami Zayn, I'm afraid that the bubble is going to burst here very, very soon on LA Knight, and he's never getting a shot at that world title.
What would it take for him to get a shot? Because I think they've gotten him close.
You have a valid question. I don't know what it would take to get him over the hump, so to speak, and getting him into the main event pitcher.
He's extremely over.
Yes.
And as much as I like him, I think he's the child of Stone Cold and The Rock when you listen to his promos.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Stone Cold in there.
Yep.
There's a lot of Rock in there.
Yes.
And there's even some, if you will, Dusty Rhodes in there.
Gotcha.
But he also delivers in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I got that team winning. It seems like he's been working with the Usos for and against them for months.
Right. And that's what makes
it almost confusing.
Yeah, it is very confusing.
So this month, I hate you.
Yeah, right. I'm going with the Bloodline just because I think that they're more
unified.
Thank you. I was going to say, this is going to sound silly, but they're a more unified front. So, all right, next.
I kind of wish they had brought in Powerhouse Hobbs, Royce Keyes, a little more efficiently. He looked good in the Rumble and then disappeared for a couple of weeks.
A couple of months. But yeah.
Were there injuries? Were there commitments?
There's probably no commitments there to anywhere, to any other promotion or company there. I don't know what.
I like his look, and I think he does well.
Yeah, he could be a real force.
Should they have brought him in like they did Kevin Nash Diesel, backing up somebody?
You know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, it really wouldn't be a bad idea for him to be the heater, the
Mr. Hughes.
The Mr. Hughes, yeah.
Way back machine.
Yeah. Oh, man, Mr. Hughes. He wrestled with the sunglasses on.
He gets a point for that.
Yeah, he does. But
and maybe an endorsement deal.
Do you know, I think they made a Mr. Hughes action figure.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. I don't remember what line put them out, but I'm pretty sure that there was a...
It's not LJN.
No, it's not, but it...
It's not Hasbro.
It's not Hasbro, but it might be... It's got to be one of those other...
I got a feeling it's Matt Cardona.
You mean...
Major Figures.
Major Figures? Oh, I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
Oh, anyway. Research! Put down that other donut. I got to tell you, I wasted half an hour today in the makeup chair because I don't see any studio audience here.
Studio audience is unfortunately asleep or drunk. We're not sure. All right. Our next match, which again, another silly match that I don't understand. Gunther taking on Nick Aldis.
Don't sleep on Nick Aldis.
I don't want to sleep on Nick Aldis, but this is not, we all know this is just to get Gunther over and to give him something to do, which my point is, why not have Gunther take on LA Knight?
They've kind of missed the boat on Gunther too.
Because he's starting to like, what's the word I'm looking for? He just float
tread
around.
Tread
water. Thank you. Yes. Ooh,
there was a time last winter, he took away two of the biggest stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we knew both of them were leaving, but still, the way he was parading around after Cena, he should have caught in fire. They lit the match, and for some reason, it just didn't catch on. Taking away AJ Styles when we know AJ's leaving. You should never know when somebody's leaving.
That defeats the aura, you know.
Right. Yeah. A lose-and-leave-town match. You should never know who's starting somewhere else in a month.
Like back in the day. You never knew. Yep.
Well, kayfabe.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think Nick Aldis deserves a better one more match. All right? If he wants one more match, I think he could do better. So.
Oh, yeah.
Just.
And by the way, he's been world champ. Wasn't he the champ of the NWA?
He was an NWA world champion. And actually, many people don't know this. He was a producer backstage as well.
For which company?
For NWA.
Okay.
I think he had a small part in the company as well, but I'm going with Gunther as the winner.
Yeah. I don't see how you bring somebody in part time to beat somebody like Gunther.
Yeah.
Or Gunther.
All right, our last match. This was a total toss up for me for my pick because I don't know whom to pick. But we have the Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie, teaming with Paige to take on Fatal Influence, which is JC Jane, Lainey Reed, and Fallon Henley. I've seen Brie and Paige as a tag team, and they don't do anything for me. They're just they're thrown together.
Spare parts
due to an injury. I think Fatal Influence, because they're the new woman faction, that they are going to get the victory.
I see that. I don't see any reason to put Nikki, Brie, and Paige over.
No.
I'm surprised Paige is still wrestling.
Yeah, well, that neck injury apparently is as bad as they thought it was going to be.
Well, there have been a lot of neck injuries that weren't as bad as we thought.
Yeah.
And that's pretty risky.
All right, well, let's move on to night two, which is Sunday night. And I'm going to try to have this in better order than Wikipedia put it there. I'm going to say that we're probably going to see... Let's start off with Trick Williams taking on Baron Corbin for the WWE United States Championship.
Where was Corbin the last couple of years?
He's been in MLW.
Okay, I'm not really sure who that is.
Well, MLW is a small independent company out of, I believe, Philadelphia is where they're based out of. Court Bauer is the guy that runs it. People like Jacob Fatu, Mystico has been there. I mean, it's been a pretty decent place to build young talent. But Baron Corbin went back down there and... He was successful with a former NXT guy, Donovan Dijak. They won the tag belts, and now he's back.
Did he do anything to earn his way back?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
I kind of think he didn't do anything for me before.
No.
He was big. He did have a couple of nice moves, but if you're going to be at this level, you should have a couple of nice moves.
Yep. Agreed.
I don't see him winning.
And here's the other thing. It's the M word, momentum. I think Trick Williams has a lot of momentum. And I like Trick Williams. I think that
The crowd loves him.
His character that he has built around him, you know, being the outlandish, athletic guy. You know, I think he played football, if I'm not mistaken, in the NFL. I'm not 100% sure on that. I think he did. I think he played for the Eagles, I want to say. But, yeah, I think Trick Williams is absolutely going to be the victor and retain that U.S. title.
Didn't Baron Corbin under his real name play in the NFL?
Yes, he played in the NFL. He played for the Arizona Cardinals. So
he didn't do anything for me either. I wonder how they're going to use Big Cass when they bring him back.
And he's coming back. He's coming back Sunday. It's already been – they've been doing the vignettes and that. My question will be, are they bringing Big Cass back? Are they going to use him as a solo wrestler? Or is it just a few weeks and then we see Enzo back alongside Big Cass?
Man, I got a hard time thinking they're going to bring Enzo back.
I mean, but
Vince doesn't care. Vince isn't there. Triple H is there. And a lot of this has to do with putting butts in the seats selling merchandise. Enzo and Big Cass sold a lot of merchandise when they were up, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, it's been longer than that. I think it's been about 7 years.
Yeah, but they sold merchandise.
Yeah.
And you can't teach that.
No, you can. Well, and here's my other thing that I was going to say is, besides the fact that, you know, Enzo and Triple H are pretty tight. All right. And no more Vince. So you can slide him in there. But I also think that Enzo's been working a lot of indies over the last couple of years. I would like to think that he's gotten better in the ring.
Do you think he knows his role?
I think maybe he's maybe learned his role.
Learned his lesson?
I think so, too. I think maybe, you know, look, we are all immature at one point in our lives. And maybe that was his time period to be very immature. Maybe he's grown some. Maybe hopefully he's gotten, you know, with the program, so to speak. And, you know,
there's a great YouTube video of The Miz taking Enzo out back to the woodshed and just ripping him apart right before he left. It's kind of like the boys in the back said, hey, this guy needs to learn where he is.
Going back to what you said, I think Big Cass getting involved somehow with the Trick or with Baron Corbin would be a neat little surprise. I definitely would go with that.
I could see him running into this.
Yeah.
And somehow taking the U.S. Championship away.
Yeah.
Whether he wins the match or not, he could steal the belt and claim it. They won tag team titles before. Did he ever win a singles?
Who? Are you talking about Big Cass? Big Cass. Did they have the world tag or did they have the NXT tag titles?
I thought they had a main roster.
They may have.
Research.
Boy, they're working their fingers to the bone.
I see donuts in their mouth.
Well, let's talk about a match that I was totally ignorant. I didn't know it was even happening. I don't know how this one slipped through the cracks, but a match for the number one contendership for the undisputed WWE Championship. You got Finn Balor taking on Sami Zayn.
I like the fact that we have a number one contenders match.
Okay.
I think you should have one on just about every weekly show so that there's somebody in line. You can take a guy from the mid-card and give him a title shot, a number one contender shot. Even if he doesn't win it, he gets the exposure and you think, hey, this guy's developing or this girl's developing.
Yeah.
I like the number one contender matches.
Okay.
Even if they don't pay off.
Well, is this one going to pay off for Sami Zayn? That's my question.
I don't think so. But here's a sliding glass door moment for you. What happens, 10 years ago when Finn gets injured? He had everything in the world.
Right.
He had just won the title. He gets injured during that match. And he's been nothing but mid-card since. He had a title shot against Drew in Scotland.
Yeah, I think you're correct on that, yeah.
In his hometown, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're correct.
He's a great worker. It's a shame he's mid-size, not mid-card. If he was bigger, I think he'd get pushed a lot more.
Well, I think that Finn Balor now being a babyface is refreshing. I think it makes, at least in my opinion, it makes him more interesting than it did when he was the leader of the Judgment Day. I felt like he had gotten stale. I think that he beats Sami Zayn. I think he's winning the number one contendership. I think that would be a no-brainer on that one. And again, see my previous comments about Sami Zayn. I think at this point, I'm not interested in Sami. I don't care what he does. I think his character needs an overhaul big time. And
how much can you change him?
Well, I'd slap another mask on him. He could be El Generico for a few months. His original gimmick, or you find him a tag team partner, and they could go for the tag belts.
Big Cass.
I
don't see a talker in the group.
I don't either. I would say if we're looking for a tag team, individual, we'd go to NXT and get somebody.
Another Canadian?
Maybe they could do some type of Canadian gimmick, you know?
Yeah. I got Finn Balor winning.
I do too, so. All right. Now for this one, it is the five-way ladder match for the interim WWE Women's Championship. Man, oh man, has this gotten some heat with some of my fellow friends who do not like interim champions. I'm on the fence. I can understand where you're trying to do something different with your world title situation that you find yourself in. But on the other hand, like in the olden days, just do a tournament.
Yeah.
Just do a tournament. Do an 8-person tournament or do a 20-person battle royal.
I like the tournament because you can cover up more than one show.
Yeah.
And it builds up momentum.
Yep.
It's not a half hour and done.
Correct.
I did see something the other day about Charlotte Flair.
Mm-hmm.
2 points. She wants to beat her dad's total record of championships.
Okay.
But the other thing I found really interesting, she's wondered about being in a romantic storyline. She's never been in one. And to me, that kind of lessens the women's. That's kind of like a slap in the face or a markdown that they should be able to wrestle on their own without having to be.
Yeah. And especially her because, I mean,
we know personal life.
Personal life. Yeah, right. Exactly. I was going to say. We know that the, you
but
know.
But it also makes it likely.
True. That is very true. And if Vince Russo was booking, you know for sure they'd be doing it. But
they're Vince Russo. There's an episode.
Okay, so here's the people that are in the match already. We have Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, Chelsea Green, Charlotte Flair, and then either Julia or Lash Legend. That is coming up in a few days on SmackDown, which again, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything that happens on SmackDown, we will definitely cover it next week. I will say this. If Julia gets in, I'm going to put my money behind Julia. But if it's not, I'm gonna be different. I'm gonna throw it out there. Chelsea Green is your winner.
She is one of the most entertaining. She gets more reaction.
Mm-hmm.
She works as hard costume character development as anybody.
Agreed.
I is she big enough to be a women's world title, or is she the intercontinental and or tag team level?
Well, I think she's intercontinental or tag team level. I think that's what she's viewed as. But again, if you're doing something different with an interim champion, then go with Chelsea Green. She's over. And you're not going to hurt her character. You're not going to hurt the prestige of the belt if she has the belt for only a month or so and then coughs it up to somebody else.
Why is it interim? Who lost it? Is there an injury that somebody's sidelined?
Well, you asked who is the champion that's being replaced. Rand, it is Rhea Ripley, who won the belt back in April at WrestleMania. But then I think it's just been a couple of weeks or so that she got injured and they gave up the title. But again, it remains to be seen who they're going to put the title on. But you know what, Rand? I don't know if you've given me your prediction yet.
I'm going Chelsea Green.
All right. Why not?
And by the way, her husband plays with toys.
That's what I understand. That's what I hear.
And I will tell her that next time I talk to her.
All right. Next up, the WWE Intercontinental Championship match between the champion Penta versus Chad Gable.
If I was a gambling person, I would put all my chips on Chad Gable winning his first singles title in his hometown as part of the Chad Gable redemption tour.
Yeah, I think this one is pretty on the nose. I don't think anyone's going to be surprised. I think I agree with you 100%. Chad Gable in Minnesota, he wins the belt. It concludes his redemption tour. And, you know, did you watch the Americanos matchup?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the best matches I've seen probably in the last couple of years.
He was great in that role.
It was fantastic. And so, you know, just springboarding off that, I think Chad Gable is going to be your new Intercontinental Champion.
I got a question. If Chad Gable is a little bit bigger, both height and bulk, would we be comparing him to Kurt Angle?
Oh, absolutely we would.
There's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
I knew Kurt Angle could wrestle and could go, but the fact that he had that much personality surprised me.
Yeah, I agree. He really had that.
a willingness to yeah. take some of those characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
playing a ukulele with a stupid cowboy hat on.
Yeah, I was just going to say that in front of McMahon and who was it? Stacey Stone Keebler Cold. Or some...
Booker T?
Maybe Booker T, I don't...
But it was incredibly funny, and I'm like, with a broken freaking neck?
Yeah.
He was great in that role. Chad Gable, we knew he could go. We knew he could wrestle. But man, the personality and to be able to change styles to go pure lucha. He's been great, and he's got enough personality with it.
Are you picking Chad to go
over? Oh, I'm picking Chad. I'm just wondering, when Chad left, how much it hurt the Academy. Because they're falling apart.
Yeah.
And Maxine left.
Yeah.
Otis and Kozawa are just treading water around the drain.
And it's unfortunate because I think Tozawa is very capable, but I think he's been told not to, you know, don't go out there and give it all you got, you know. So I think
know your role.
I don't know. I think that they both obviously could benefit from a new coat of paint, so to speak. That remains to be seen. I don't know. All right, down to our last couple here. Let's talk about the human monies on a pole match. Danhausen versus Dominic Mysterio.
You know, Dominic had a world of momentum, a world of ability, was willing to work here and in Mexico. I think it's kind of like pumping the brakes to put him on a match with Danhausen.
Well, okay, one thing I'm going to say that I do not like. I do not like how Dominic is a heel in WWE in the States, but he's a babyface in AAA.
Okay.
Just pick one. I don't like that going back and forth.
Do you think that there's enough of a shared audience that we know that?
I think there's enough of a shared.
Okay.
Shared.
So it's similar to Brett being a face in Canada.
Right, which I was never that big of a fan of that storyline either. Because I was like, okay, so we're two different countries.
Yeah.
You know, nonetheless, let's get back to it. I think Dominic Mysterio and Danhausen, they've done a great job with their storyline. They've done a fantastic job. They haven't screwed up Danhausen. So I say at this point, Danhausen is going to climb that pole and grab the human monies.
Is this a Vince Russo match?
I don't know. This to me might be that Danhausen has this idea and he pitches it.
Okay.
If truth comes, if we're being truthful here, I think that definitely he probably pitched that idea.
And apparently got approved.
Yeah. So.
It'll be interesting to see.
Oh, it's not going to be a 5-star Tokyo Dome spectacular. No, this is... This is Danhausen and Dom. This is going to be silly. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be a little bit of wrestling, but then who knows? The Minihausens might get involved. Who knows?
Who's he going to curse?
Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, now they have had, as they showed last night, they had a partnership with Joe Henry and Danhausen from a couple of weeks ago, now led into a concert, which then... was interrupted by the Judgment Day and some random boxer guy. Then I'm like, who is this guy?
It seems like we have a boxer in the front row of every match now.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, yeah, I know. TKO's got vested interest in boxing. I know. But Danhausen, I think, goes over. I assume you're going to pick Danhausen as well?
No, I'm going to take Dominic.
Okay, the AAA Mega Champion. All right.
Now, just because you win the match doesn't mean you go over. Dominic can win the match, but at the end, Danhausen could make could look good at the end.
Sure, absolutely. That absolutely could be true. All right, our last one, Rand, our last match, the match that we've seen 800,000 times in the last 7, 8, 9 years. Roman Reigns defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Seth Rollins.
So we got a lot of potential run-ins. You've got, 15 to 20 people from the bloodline. You've got 15 to 20 people who have worked with and for Paul Heyman. You've got the Vision. There's a lot of possibilities here. I think if it's a straight match with no outside, I think Roman wins.
I'm giving the rub to Roman as well. I just feel that there's a little bit more opportunity in terms of name power. He would be like the Cody Rhodes only on Raw. Like, I could see Roman Reigns being on Jimmy Fallon and sure. And being showing up on ESPN and all same that jazz.
Ben. Yeah.
Where Seth Rollins, yes, he would do that, but I don't think it would have the same je ne sais quoi about it.
Didn't Seth Rollins co-host the guy climbing the building in Singapore?
I have no idea.
There was a Netflix special about a guy.
I know who. I remember seeing ads for it, but I never watched it.
I've seen Seth on Pat McAfee on a regular basis.
Right.
I see him at Chicago Cub games.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I think your point is Roman's even bigger.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. But yeah, I said this on another show that I was on. I said that I'm so bored with this matchup that the only thing that could probably excite me is if Dean Ambrose showed up. And that's being truthful. I'm not looking forward to this main event match because I'm like, it's something that we've seen time and time again.
Man, that would be the big...
Oh, that would be awesome. That would
be the big spark.
That would. It's not happening, but it would make for a big spark, of course. All right, Rand. Anything else you want to... You got any other notes or anything else we need to cover real quick before we run out of time?
Going back to the doctor Friday, hoping for good news. Got a knee problem.
Oh, man. Which knee, right or left?
This time it's the right knee.
Is this from your baseball career?
No, this is gardening. This is jamming a shovel into the ground and finding rocks.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully everything turns out okay.
Oh. I'd like to thank our studio audience. She's been a great dog.
Even though she does not really participate, shall we say, which is okay.
Which is good.
Yeah, it is. All right. Anything you want to plug real quick?
Nope. Nothing okay. Right now.
All right. Well then with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ringside Rand talking about SummerSlam. And no doubt we are looking forward to the event, and we're also looking forward to the episode where we will give you our thoughts on the event, on the PLE, when we do our review show or recap show. That'll be coming up here real soon. But in the meantime, I'm going to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First of all, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can drop me a line if you like via email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. And you can also drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for at PVDcast. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about the show and where they can find it. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best place to get every single new episode. But of course, it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting outlet or app, put in the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it and you should find it. And while you're dealing with that particular outlet, why don't you go ahead and do me a favor by rating and reviewing? It helps me out on the algorithm and is super important for all independent podcasters out there. And of course, while you're rating and reviewing, you can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. Now, there's a third way that you can hear the show, and that is every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go to the Facebook page and hear the latest episode right there at the Facebook page, which once again, it's at PVDcast is the handle. So there you go. You got three quick, easy avenues for hearing the show. That is, of course, PVDcast.com through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. And of course, every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.